I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm going to start by making sure I say thank you to our players, coaches, all the support staff around the team for the work they did day in and day out. Just really appreciative of their commitment, professionalism, how they handle themselves. But I also want to say thank you to the bigger part of the organization and people in this organization that work downstairs, upstairs, that really people don't see every day. Just the commitment that they have to the logo in this organization, and whether it's, you know, people in ticketing, making phone calls and talking to season ticket members, or, you know, our community relations staff, the great work they do. You think about operations and people that are here in the middle of the night, day after day, and just marketing and finance. There's just so many different parts of this organization that maybe don't get credit. So I just want to make sure I say thank you to them as well. And then lastly, I want to thank the fans. You've heard me say over and over again, we need to connect with this fan base. We need to earn their trust. We need to build something special here that our fans can be proud of. And I have to tell you, you know, sitting some of the games later in the year and feeling the energy. I know our players felt it, but seeing the wave and, you know, like just the chants, and it's special. And I've talked to players about this, but there is nothing more powerful than one of our guys looks up and sees someone in the 300 level or a family there and knows they're wearing whatever jersey, and they're spending their money and their time and putting their energy into this team. It's powerful. And when our players recognize that and they appreciate that and the fans appreciate what they're saying, it's a big deal. It's really powerful. So I just want to make sure I started with that.
Kevin, last summer when you were going through that longer coaching search to make sure that you made the hire that you wanted to make, I'm sure you had other people weighing in, you need this, you need that, you need an experienced guy, but you stuck to the coach that you wanted to hire, that you and after one season, how do you reflect on not only the job that Don did, but obviously the entire staff?
Yeah, well, let's see. Donnie is he's just a really, really good person. Let's start with that. And you want to be around good people, and you want to surround yourself with as many good people that you can have fun with, be honest with, back and forth. But you start there. And then, you know, he's an incredibly intelligent coach. He understands the game at a high level, clearly, but he also understands people, and the players trust him because he's honest. And then, you know, I think his ability as a head coach to be in the moment and want the best for that moment, but also have perspective on the big picture and the development and how our players need to, you know, just grow and learn. And it's not just because they're young, but that's just a really important part of coaching. And he has that ability to do that. And I think that's not easy. So yeah, really excited about Donnie, the coaching staff in general. I mean, these guys they mesh really, really well together. Their personalities fit. They hold each other accountable, but they have fun. I mean, you want to have fun. This should be fun. And they have a great room in there. And I do believe that the players pick up on that. The players feel the energy. The players want to get on the ice early. The players want to stay on the ice late. And part of that is because they trust the coaching staff. And so, yeah, reflecting back on it, I'm very appreciative and, you know, thankful for the job they've done. And they're excited to get better, too. You know, they want to be better themselves, and we're having those meetings now. But It's a good group.
Kevin, you obviously have a roster that looks pretty full on paper for next year. The one area everybody talks about is the goaltending. I guess the two questions I have is, how much of whatever happens with goaltending, the first step is going to be whatever Craig decides, and the second part is, how worried are you about the continued injury problems with UPL?
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of Craig particular, man, just what he brings every day was a big deal. Not just the on-ice. You know, the on-ice, I thought he performed very well. He was solid. He was stabilizing in there, calm, gave our team a chance to win every night that he played. But his presence in the locker room, his presence in practice, his experience, I really think that was a big deal and the culture piece of what we're working towards. So, you know, I'll leave out the details of he and I in our private conversation, but he knows exactly how we feel about him. And you know, we owe him the respect to take a breath, you know, spend a little time with his family here and just be honest. And that's what we've asked him to do. So he and I will be in, you know, conversations here, you know, coming after he has a little time to take it all in. So, yeah, we'll see where that situation goes. You know, in terms of the, I guess, Mike, the big picture, I'm really excited about, you know, the internal answers I feel we have here within the organization for down the road. And I'd say, you know, obviously UPL fits that. You know, I like the way he played when he was here. I like the way he's battled through adversity, whether it's injury or just, you know, inconsistencies at times. And then if you look at his games over the last, you know, few weeks, and they were in, you know, basically playoff mode where every game was you know, almost do or die for them. He's played really strong. He played confident. He was giving his team a chance to win. So for me, there was a good maturity out of him. And yeah, you know, certainly the injury, sometimes it's asking the question why. You know, is it just a fluky type thing? I mean, he got hit pretty hard there the other night when he's in the crease. And, you know, that's, I don't know, there's much you can do about that. But that's something we'll talk about. But obviously a guy like, you know, Devin Levi, you know, he's, what he did in college hockey this year is pretty special. And, you know, just even in terms of my conversations with him and talking about where's he at in his career, next steps, you know, the answer of, you know, I'll share with you, one of the reasons we talked about him wanting to go back to school was because he said, you know, I want to feel the pressure of being the top goalie in the country and having expectations on me and work through that. Like, that's a pretty mature answer for a, you know, a young player to have. So I think it's just says a lot about who he is. But so big picture, we feel, you know, good internally. You know, we'll look at different options. But what we won't do is, you know, do something to box ourselves out or, you know, that maybe we would be uncomfortable, you know, down the road because we're just trying to do something, feel we have to do it right now. So we'll balance all that.
Going off that, Kevin, how tough is it to not get so excited with the way this team played in the second half of the year and want to make a move right now with draft capital or with a free agency or trades or whatever to try and win next year, considering the playoff expectations are now there from the fan base?
Yeah, I think you balance it all. I think what you can't do is, and you've heard me say this before, you can't hit fast forward. You can't just say, we're going from here to here. You have to, it's a process. And this is about us getting better. We're not satisfied right now. We played some really good hockey at the end of the year. I like the growth of our team. I like the growth of some individuals and majority of the individuals and the way it came together. But we have a long way to go. We got a lot of work ahead of us. So we want to make sure that we're setting this organization up for sustainable long-term success. And certain decisions you can make in the short term that maybe would, you know, push you a little bit further along, it may come back to haunt you a little bit later. So we have to be really disciplined and careful as we put this together. We have to stay, you know, really thinking about not boxing certain players out of whether it's a job here or even ice time within our team. So those are all the kind of things that we, you know, we think about. But, you know, you touched on playoffs. You know, like, I really believe that when you're part of a team, you have to have goals. You have to have expectations. You know, we work every day. We want to win a Stanley Cup. We want to. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, you got to get to the playoffs before you can win a Stanley Cup. So, okay, now take it back from there. What do you need to do during the season to make sure you're winning enough hockey games to put yourself in that position? Ultimately, that's over there. The focus that we talk about every day is, what are we doing today to be better than I was yesterday? How do we win the day? How do we win the moments within the day to be better? And if you approach that, whether that's my job, coaching staff, anyone, support staff, players, if you have that mentality every day, it'll take care of itself. And so that's what you'll hear us focus on, you know, moving forward. We're going to talk about getting better, and that's a big deal.
Kevin, has Ryan Johnson made a decision yet?
He's at this point looking like he's going to go back to school. We've had conversations. He still is kind of, you know, it's open-ended a little bit, but he's indicated that, you know, where he's at right now and the team they have and the ice time he gets there, he thinks, you know, at this point he's leaning that direction.
Does that concern you?
No. I mean, you know, you look at every one of these situations and it goes back to having honest conversations, which we've had. But, you know, we're very supportive of players when they, if they're in an environment that we feel they can get better, that's what we look at. And I know his coach and the coaching staff very well. You know, I know the league he plays in, and you know, think this will help him continue to get better if that's ultimately the final decision he makes.
Kevin, you made the point a lot of times last year of wanting to keep guys who want to be here in Buffalo and wear, be proud to wear the Sabres jersey. How much do you think the removal of Reinhardt, Ristolainen, and Eichel, guys who were getting fed up with losing and all this other stuff and were part of the older team, how much, by removing them from the equation, allowed this team to grow?
Well, I think it's, you know, let's look at the bigger picture first. When we talk about players that want to be here, it's about everything. It's not just about, you know, do they like the coach? Or, you know, did they like a buddy on the team? It's, do you like getting up in the morning and living in this community? Do you everything about it, do you truly believe that I'm in this position to succeed and can I get the most out of my career? And when you have that, you can start to build something special. And that's why I talked about that. We have to have a culture of that. We have to have players that truly appreciate what this place is all about. We all got a history lesson this year. You know, I said this to the players after the last game. Just being part of this season and with all of the RJ, you know, stuff going on. If you're Samuelson and you're seeing a call RJ made in Jumbotron, I mean, it's powerful and you're saying, wow, okay, this is a history lesson in what this place is all about. So we want to make sure we identify people that truly believe in what's going on here and want to be part of something special. So as we made decisions, it was with that in mind. And then what we also wanted to do was put our young players in a position to be able to identify the core of this group moving forward. And we did, like I said earlier, we didn't want to box players out, whether it's a job or ice time. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that we set players up ultimately to succeed. And that's was our mindset, and it's going to continue to be.
On that note, how different is this locker room from last year to this year?
Well, you know, I really feel that if you can create an environment where people can come in every day and be authentic and just be themselves, and that now is you're putting them in a position to thrive. You're putting them in a position to maximize what their gifts are. And what I feel really good about this locker room is that's the way it is now. It's whether you're loud and funny or you just are more quiet or whatever that type of personality is, you're accepted because the people in this room have a maturity about them. And I give Kyle Ekposo and Zemis Gergesen a ton of credit. They have, as more the veteran guys, kind of set a standard for how we are going to be doing things. But it takes everybody, and it's not just the players. It takes the coaches. It takes the equipment. It takes the trainers. I mean, just the whole culture isn't just one thing. It's all of everybody working together, and that's why I even talk about the bigger organization. Everybody's part of it. So I'm proud that we are now have an environment where people are accepted for who they are. And look at Owen Power. It's not easy to come in, regardless of how talented you are, to come into a team late. And what I loved about the way Owen came in here was, one, he was able to be himself and accepted by his teammates. And then, two, just the way he wanted to fit in. You know, I'm going to pick up pucks after practice or water bottles. I mean, that's big deal. And then the players, everybody feels that. So that's the environment we want. We got to keep working at it.
With the cohesion and the improvement that you've seen this year, do you feel like this rebuild over the last year is mostly over now?
Well, your word, never mind. build. It's a build. And it's important because you're always building. You know, it's never over. It's always about getting better. And what I feel good about is you look at our team now and the continuity within the staff and the players. The majority of this team, you know, will be back next year here. They just have that much more experience. But you're building. And we want really good players and really good people that love being here. And when that comes together, and I think what we feel is it's starting to, it can be special and it can be powerful, and the players now believe, and that's a big deal.
Would you like to still add an established defenseman this summer?
Yeah, well, you know, it was really interesting watching the young group play there, and it's why, you know, I didn't, you know, probably say it earlier, but just with getting Owen signed and in here, it felt like really wanted to see how it all fit together. And, you know, talking to the coaches, talking to the players in the exit meetings, you know, I asked a lot of questions just about, you know, right shot, left shot, right D. I mean, I don't know how close you guys watch when you a pair like Darlene and Samuelson, and it's hard to figure out who's playing which side. You know, it's the way they're moving around, and part of that's by design. From the way Donnie and the coaches put the system in, and part of that's the chemistry and them just, you know, doing their thing. So let's focus on, we have to get a right shot defenseman to play with Owen Power or Rasmus Dahlin. More about, is there the right person that fits what we're doing here that can be additive to all parts of the culture and their on-ice play? So yeah, for sure, we're going to look at that. But probably more comfortable with figuring out that right type of fit rather than it has to be this type of fit, you know, if that makes any sense.
You've mentioned Kyle and Zemgus, and I know you and Donnie are both comfortable with the leadership group. What goes into the decision of going forward that way or going forward naming a captain?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at this season, we wanted to be careful to put too much on just, you know, one guy, especially as we were, you know, building and transitioning and into this phase. But we wanted to make sure we gave the young guys a voice and let them, you know, have their time to learn and be comfortable in the locker room. And it doesn't, just because you don't have a letter doesn't mean you can't be a leader and can't speak up. And that's what those guys in that room have established, that anyone can say anything when they feel it's the right time. So, you know, Donnie and I will continue to have some conversations, but, you know, I can't highlight enough Kyle Ekposo and what he means to this group, and from the exit meetings to just, you know, the all day during the season, every day, just the conversations we're all have with him or other people, just to say, you know, what he's done and what he means to this group. So, you know, we're excited. We feel that we have a really good now group of leaders, and we also have younger leaders that can be themselves, and regardless of, you know, actually being an assistant or a captain or whatever, have a voice, and that's powerful.
You talk about guys being more comfortable. How did you see Rasmus Dahlin grow into being more comfortable, not just on the ice, but in himself, like, you know, talking to us and so forth?
Incredible. You know, I give Rasmus a ton of credit. He made it very clear, and I don't know if you guys remember last year during this press conference, you know, I was energized. The young players that we spoke to at the end at the exit meetings, they were hungry. They wanted this. They want to get better. Rasmus was the one leading the charge, and I saw really something special out of him last year starting in that meeting. He came right into training camp confident. Wanting to make a difference. And I think what you saw with Rasmus was starting to believe in that he could be a dominant player night after night. And it's, you're not always going to have your A game, you know, every night, 82 games. It's hard. But there's a lot of games where he's the best player on the ice. And I think he's the type of person that wants to be great. He wants to be the best, and he's going to put the work in. So those are the guys you start to really get excited about, because they're not satisfied. They want to be better. And he's a great teammate. I mean, the guys look to him as a leader now. And they look to him because of his habits, his work ethic. I want to get on the ice early and work on my game. I just played 26 minutes last night, but I'm going to be the first one out there working on something. That sends a message to everybody in the locker room, and that's a really impressive kind of progress, you know, since where we were here last year.
For you, what's it like entering an offseason where you don't have to deal with all of the stuff that you had since you got the job?
Well, I don't know. I might sleep a little more. But you're always thinking. You're always working to how can we get better? What can we improve on? There's certain things, quite honestly, that I haven't your priority list, and I haven't had time to really be able to, like, dig into and take a deep dive on, which we're going to do this offseason in certain ways. There's ways for me that I want to get better. I want to get better at this job. I want to be a better general manager. I want to be a better leader in this organization. So part of if I do get a little bit of downtime, part of that will be maybe time for me to reflect. I haven't had a lot of that time to say where did I do things well, where could I have been better, why, have conversations with people. I try to learn from every conversation and just, you know, push myself. So that's, you know, maybe just in a personal note, kind of some of the things I'll be thinking about a little bit.
What are three potential draft picks in the first round? How do you go about that if Vegas stays outside of the top 10 and you have three? Might you consider leveraging one of those assets or whatever to move up, and or would you prefer Vegas to maybe win the lottery so you get two assets a year later?
That's why we were comfortable either way. If that's the way it shakes out, you know, the first round picks are very valuable. So we were comfortable either way. I think, John, when it comes to this year's draft, we'll be open. We will have conversations. Is there something that we do that makes sense that we think is going to put us in a better position? Then we'll do it. What we won't do is do something we think is just a short-term fix, because that's just kind of what I talked about earlier. That's not where we're at right now. If you're putting me on the spot, I would expect that we would make our three picks. You know, I believe in the pipeline you have to build. When we talk about long-term sustainable success, you need talent. You need talent that can come up from Rochester, and you don't have to rush them. You can let them grow and develop, and then when they're ready, boom, they're here, and they're ready to be impactful, not just surviving. So a lot of that is how you draft and, you know, the assets that you have. That was part of our plan, was to accumulate assets now, you know, so we would expect that we would use them that appropriately. But you've got to be open. You've got to be in the conversations, and you have to be ready for any type of thing if the right opportunity presents itself.
In retrospect, thank you. And when the turning point of this season seemed to be that Vegas game, the 3-1 win, when you get Tuck and Krebs both getting involved in that win and just the energy in this room, I'm not sure, from your perspective, did this team have to, for lack of a better phrase, exercise that ghost in some ways, because that seemed to be, aside from the Toronto wins, but that seemed to energize this franchise moving forward. How important was that? And given how much patience you put in to make that trade, how validating at this point was it looking back in getting those two guys?
Well, the first part of the question, I'll say, you look at different times in the season and games and experiences you're about to have as growth opportunities. And I felt that the Vegas game, if we're focused on that game in particular, was an amazing growth opportunity because of the emotion around it and the building, people talking about it, and all eyes on our team and watching that game. How is it going to unfold? Look, that's playoffs, right? Like, that's what happens in the playoffs. The lights are a little brighter. There's more reporters around, the cameras. And so you have to understand how to handle all of that and still be at the top of your game. So I looked at it as, this is just a great growth opportunity. Now, the way it played out and our guys performed, I was proud of. And what got me more excited, if I'm looking at other games and just different situations, whether it was the outdoor game or some other bigger games down the stretch, our players elevated. You think about RJ Knight and just, you know, they elevated, they stayed calm, confident, and executed, you know, and even the last game, where, you know, it was a nice way to kind of finish for us. It was tough. We didn't have a lot of energy, and they found a way. They fought through. So those are all growth opportunities. You know, in terms of the trade itself, you know, it's Alex Tuch and Peyton Krebs are unbelievable people. Like, these guys, they care. They love the game. They love being a Buffalo Sabre. And they're just, they're really good people. And we're really excited about the hockey players they are. You know, I've said this to Alex. I think he's still scratching the surface of what he can do as a hockey player. I think he has another level. And Peyton's young. You know, Peyton's a young player. He had a great, in my opinion, he did a great job for us. But he's learning from all these experiences. He's processing what it's about to play in this league. And, you know, he's young, but he's just hungry to get better. So, man, it's just it's exciting as I think back on it. And it's why, you know, maybe people did say you took a long time or you were patient. But it's because, in my opinion, we just couldn't compromise on what we needed to do for this franchise. So, I'm pretty excited about it.
Kevin, there was a lot of talk, obviously, early in the year, especially about attendance. And there were extenuating factors, we all know. And the attendance grew as time went on. Special events, winning team, more wins, so more people came. And I would expect more people keep coming. The one thing we hear every single day from people when you talk about your whole organization is the building is a dump. You know, my seat is broken, my cup holder is broken, that kind of thing organizationally. What can you tell people if they want to come and spend their money to buy tickets about just the physical atmosphere? They're not going to get a $300 million renovation of this building yet, but in the short term, what can you give fans as a message to the way they're going to have a game presented to them?
Well, yeah, so when I think about our fans, I you know, and I have had, you may or may not know this, I have had some season ticket member conversations where, you know, I'll be with a couple hundred people, and for an hour, they'll ask me questions. And I hear a little bit of that, but what I mostly hear is, I want a team that I can really rally behind and get excited about and can't wait to get to the arena. And so I hear the conversations or the questions or the things that are brought to me are more focused on that. And that's part of my message to our team, is about earning the respect and earning the trust. And when we do that, and we're in the process of that, we have to keep doing that. We have a long way to go. I feel good about, you know, how the other things will fall into place. You know, when you come to the arena, you want to be entertained. You want to have fun. You know, you just want to say, man, I love this team. And I think that's our job. But yeah, when there's other things that you're talking about, one of the things I've learned in a leadership position is you have to know, right? Like, you have to know these things. So we need, as an organization, if that's the case and a fan is in a seat that something's wrong with, then they need to make sure they tell someone and tell us, and we'll get it done. You know, so sometimes that stuff is talked about, but, you know, the people that can actually follow through and do it may not even really totally know. So I think that's part of the interaction and the trust that we need to have. We need to make sure that we're communicating, asking questions. I think the biggest mistake you can make when you're in an organization is not talk to the people that are coming. You know, have conversations, ask questions, and then listen. Sometimes people ask questions, but you forget to listen. So we all need to listen and be better. And then make sure that whatever the priority of our fans is and helping them with their fan experience, we can deliver on.
You said you wanted to be better. You know, a lot of people would already say the drafting has gone really well. The Eichel trade certainly looks really well off the top. I mean, in terms of putting together a hockey team, what do you think you need to be better at?
Me personally, you mean? Yeah. Well, I think when you look at the team, you know, if I'm just putting myself saying, like, okay, today, what do I need to do or what have I learned? It's really challenging sometimes to take a little of the emotion out of it. And so I think what I need to do is at times watch where our team is at and give us honest assessment, and then sometimes just get out of the way. You know, like, get out of the way. Like, for me, sometimes, you know, I love talking to the coaches. I love being in there. I love being part of it. I love talking to our players. And they would probably tell you it's, I don't know, in my experience as a player, is rare. But I love that part of it. But then sometimes for me, I just need to just let things happen, you know, and let them go through whatever the ups and downs and the challenging parts. And that goes back to the leadership, you know, when you have a guy like a Kyle Okposo that you know is kind of just keeping things even keel, it helps, you know. And then the other thing I would say is just being present and for me is so important, because sometimes in this job you can think about all these things down the road, or I got to do this, or what's going to happen, we need to sign this guy, or, you know, sometimes you just need to be present, and you just need to take it in, and so that's something I probably work on as I get more experience in the job.
Owen played 8 games, just what surprised you, what impressed you, and just how valuable are those 8 games?
I mean, I just think really valuable, because he is the type, he's very self-aware. He's very, he has a extremely high ability to process his own game. And so he will take those 8 games experiences and absolutely help him train this summer. I got to get better at this. And, you know, so, and, you know, his answer to me in the exit meeting was very interesting. I found, like, you know, what was the biggest thing, you know, like when you jump into an NHL game coming from college, and most of the time, the answer is, well, the game's faster and the players are stronger. And what he said to me was, the players are smarter. And so, you know, he's now processing that. You know, as I go back for a defenseman, I check my shoulder, I might not be able to go, you know, just there with the puck, because this guy's smart. He's jumping that, the winger, you know what I mean? So he's processing all that. Really incredibly excited about him in the future. He's a great person. The poise he shows within games. He loves it here. He wants to be here. He believes in what we're doing, and he's a great teammate, you know, and he can just come in and be himself. You know, we don't have the weight, he doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders. He doesn't have these expectations. He has to be something. Just come and be yourself. And that's been the message to him. Be the best version of yourself every day. And, you know, he's a talented kid. He's going to continue to get better and better.
Kevin, you have a lot of hockey experience, obviously been around a lot of teams. You said that in your experience, it was rare for a GM to kind of be so present. What's it been like for you being so engaged with this top-down culture that John says he can only cultivate with your support?
Well, I just, you know, I feel very strongly that when I got this job, I promised myself that I had to be me. And yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure, and you can get, it's just a lot going on that you can get distracted and you can forget. At the end of the day, be the best person you can be, treat people well, surround yourself with good people. That's it, right? And just be honest. You're not always going to have the right answers. You're not always going to, sometimes you think in these jobs you have to have the answer all the time, or you have to be the smartest person. Just be honest and do the right thing. And so for me, that's been the message to the players, is I'm going to ask you questions. Just be honest with me. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's anything wrong. And then it also allows you to build relationships and to then have harder conversations, because it's not always great. You know, you have to be able to bring players in and just, you know, really have that honest back and forth dialogue. So I think I would have appreciated that as a player, to have that type of relationship with the general manager. So, you know, you'd have to ask the players, but I do feel good about what we're building and how we treat each other in this organization. And that's the same for, it doesn't matter if I'm upstairs and I'm, you know, it's an intern, you know, like, we want to treat each other with respect. We want to do the right things here and make this a place that people love to come to every day. And it's just, that's what I believe very strongly in, how I try to act every day.
And speaking of leadership positions, where are you guys at with naming a captain?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. You know, we're something Donnie and I have spent time already talking about. We feel that we're in a different place than we were, you know, last summer at the start of the season, whatever you want to say. So, you know, we're gonna continue here over the next couple weeks to have those conversations, but we feel that we're in a pretty good spot there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.